Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. I believe we've got the tech sorted out here. So the agents on the stand, if we could have the jurors brought back in, please. Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. All right, please. Please, our president, count for Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right. When we left off for lunch, Mr. Wood, you were on direct examination. I think you had offered or were discussing Exhibit 229. It was not yet admitted. And then we had an issue that we've resolved. So if you'd like to continue with direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I do believe, talking with counsel, that Exhibit 229 comes in by way of stipulation.
Okay. It's been offered. Is there any objection to the admission of Exhibit 229?
No objection.
Very well. Exhibit 229 is admitted.
Is your appropriate title agent?
No, it's intelligence analyst.
Can I just call you Mr. Dean?
Sure.
Mr. Dean, do you have Exhibit 229 in front of you?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
It's a copy of the text messages that were exchanged between Tammy Daybell and Chad Daybell on the 9th of September of 2019.
And how do you know this?
I know this because I reviewed these same messages during my review of the contents of Tammy's phone.
Other than the text messages themselves, what other information is shown on this page?
There are additional details for each of the messages on this page, including the direction of each message, whether it was incoming or outgoing. Different timestamps for each message are shown on the page, and also there are the source paths indicating where on the phone, where inside the phone, the raw information for these messages was maintained and stored.
Your Honor, may I publish Exhibit 229?
You may.
I believe that does. Agent, you mentioned, or Mr. Dean, you mentioned that there are different timestamps shown on this page for each message. Have you seen those timestamps associated with these messages before?
Yes.
And can you explain to the best of your knowledge why different timestamps are associated with these messages?
Yes. So when I first reviewed these messages in late May of 2020, I did so using Cellbrite Reader's timeline tool or timeline feature, which allows for the review of data items from multiple categories together in chronological order. And when I did that, only by default, only one timestamp was displayed as the primary timestamp for each item, for each message. And so it is that time, it was that default timestamp that I used whenever I referred to these messages in written documents or when providing court testimony on previous occasions. That on this page, that timestamp, those default timestamps are labeled as the CR default times.
Do you have a pointer up there?
Sure.
If you can point out to what you're worried.
All right. So these times right here, CR default, those are the timestamps that I'm talking about now, and they're labeled CR default here because they're the default times shown in Cellebrite Reader. So recently, as I was refamiliarizing myself with the contents of this device and with these messages in particular, I still saw in Cellebrite Reader that these CR default times were still being presented as the primary timestamp assigned to each of those items. But I also observed that there was an additional timestamp for the incoming messages that show that they had been sent roughly 1 hour earlier. And those earlier timestamps were only visible when viewing the metadata for each individual message or by accessing a separate section of the Cellebrite, of the extraction report in Cellebrite Reader, to see the raw information for the messages in within the phone's internal SMS database. And so on this page, those earlier timestamps for the incoming messages are labeled as the sent times right there. And they're labeled as such because that's how they're labeled in the phone's internal storage.
And with regard to those incoming messages and those two different timestamps, were you able to determine which of the two timestamps is most accurate?
Yes.
How did you make that determination?
I was able to make that determination by consulting telephone toll records for both Tammy's and Chad's phone number covering this time period. And those toll records had been obtained early on in this investigation from Verizon, who was the phone service provider for both numbers. And they were obtained through search warrants that had been obtained by the Fremont County Sheriff's Office and the Rexburg Police Department, respectively. And so what I did was I had on one screen, I had the Cellebrite Reader program loaded and opened up to display these four messages. And on another, I opened the folders that contained the Verizon search warrant return information for both Tammy's phone and for Chad's phone number. And I opened up the spreadsheets that specifically contained SMS message data or text message data. And I applied filters in both spreadsheets to only show the messages exchanged between Tammy and Chad on the 9th of September of 2019. And then I sorted those messages from oldest to newest. And after I took those steps, I saw that there were four messages in both of those spreadsheets, and there was four messages, of course, in the Cellebrite Reader window that I had open. I was able to see that the order of these messages and the directionality of the messages matched up in all of those windows. And I also saw that the timestamps in the Verizon spreadsheets under the message send date column matched up perfectly with the earlier timestamps that had been located in Cellebrite Reader.
All right. And are those those timestamps from the Verizon records also shown on this page?
Yes, they are. They are listed first of all the three timestamps. So they're labeled message send date. And that's because that's how That's how they're labeled in the Verizon returns spreadsheet.
All right. And on this sheet, are those messages listed in the chronological order of the times found on those Verizon cell phone records?
Yes, they are.
Mr. Dean, will you, looking at that first message, who sent that message?
It was sent from the contact named as Chad.
And who received it?
The device user, Tammy.
And what time was it sent?
September 9th of 2019 at 10:53:16 a.m.
And can you, will you read that message?
Yes. Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all the limb debris by the fire pit before it got too soaked by the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and got my gun, and he was still walking along. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He is now in our pet cemetery. Fun times.
The second message. Can you look at who sent that message?
It was sent by the contact named as Chad.
And who was it sent to?
To the device user, Tammy.
And what time was it sent at?
So, it was sent at 10:56:52 a.m. on September 9th, 2019.
Can you read the contents of that message?
Going to shower now and then go write for a while at BYU. Love you.
And the third message, who sent the third message?
Chad.
The third message?
Excuse me. The device user, Tammy, sent the message to Chad.
And what was the date and time of that message?
The date was the 9th of September, 2019, and the time was 1:47:01 p.m.
And what was the content of that message?
It read, good for you.
And the last message on that page, who sent the last message?
That one was sent by Chad to the device user, Tammy, and it was sent on the same date at 1:48:14 p.m. And it read, I'm back home now.
Okay. So, Agent, you testified that you found these messages as part of your analysis of Tammy Daybell's phone, correct?
Correct.
Why did these messages catch your attention?
The first message in particular stood out to me because it was simply longer and more detailed than any of the other messages that had been exchanged or would be exchanged between Tammy and Chad as they appeared on this device. So generally speaking, messages sent between the two were relatively short, and they dealt with things, routine matters, household matters, and things of that nature, such as whether one or the other needed to pick up a check or deposit a check, whether animal feed needed to be picked up for any of the animals that lived on the property, what time one or the other was coming home or leaving the house, and so on and so forth. And this message was the only one that was on this device in which Chad wrote to Tammy such a lengthy and detailed explanation of his day's events.
Okay. And was there anything about the date of that text message that caught your attention?
Yes. The date also caught my attention because, if you recall from earlier in my testimony, my first assignment in this investigation was to review tips that were submitted by members of the public in response to that 5th of March 2020 press release by the FBI and Rexburg PD, in which the members of the public were asked to send photos and videos if they'd been in and around Yellowstone National Park on the 8th of September of 2019, in the hopes that that information, those photos, those videos may give law enforcement a clue and aid in the investigation to locate both Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. And so after having reviewed hundreds of photographs and video files taken from all across Yellowstone National Park on the 8th of September of 2019. I was very much aware that that date was the last day that Tylee Ryan was seen alive. And so upon reading this first message here on this page, in which Chad...
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. This is becoming quite a narrative, and there should be some questions, I believe.
I can ask some more, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
So just kind of, in summary, what was it then that caused you concern about this text message?
It was the fact that this longer, more, detailed text message, longer and more detailed than others on the device, was sent by Chad to his wife, Tammy, explaining with some amount of care that he had started a fire, shot a large animal, and buried that large animal on his property. And it was the fact that he did those things. He was telling his wife, Tammy, that he did those things on the day after Tylee Ryan was last seen alive.
And were you ever made aware in your investigation where Tylee Ryan's remains were found?
Yes.
Where were they found?
They were found in the pet cemetery on Chad Daybell's property.
Your Honor, at this time, I have no further questions.
All right, thank you.
The exhibit is...
Do I also get permission to call you Mr. Dean?
You do.
Thank you. You had an opportunity to look at Tammy's phone and Chad's phone, is that correct?
I did not. But I did not review Chad's phone.
You looked at Tammy's phone?
Correct.
You looked at the contents of Tammy's phone?
Correct.
And would you agree with me that there were frequent discussions with other members of her family?
Yes.
You would agree with me that based on your analysis that there were three people that were living in the Daybell home on this around September 9th, is that correct?
Correct.
And those people would be who?
Tammy Daybell, Chad Daybell, and Garth Daybell.
Did you discover any information with any other of the Daybell family members, whether they lived close proximity to the Daybell property?
Not during my review of Tammy's device that I can remember, but over the course of other assignments that I had in this case, I did become aware that that yes, there were other members of the Daybell family and their spouses living nearby.
And who were those?
I believe it was Emma Murray and her husband, Joe Murray.
And do you know where approximately they lived?
I believe they lived sort of catty corner to the Daybell property.
Now, it's not your position that the mention of animals in communications from Tammy is unusual, is it?
Mention of animals. It happened a few times.
Okay. And in those communications, the range that you used in this thing started around the 27th of July. Is that right? Of 2019?
For SMS messages?
Yes.
Particularly? Yes. So the range of the SMS messages on the device was July through October. So yes.
So July of 2019 through October, the middle of October of 2019, correct?
Correct.
2.5 months.
It's about 4 months.
End of July, August, September, middle of October, right?
Yes. So
where's 4 months come from?
Well, I think that the messages on the device started in mid-July. So if I was counting July.
Oh, I see. But your date of evaluation started on the 27th of July, correct?
The date the very first SMS message appearing on the phone?
No, the date, the range of your evaluation of the phone started on the 27th of July of 2019 and ended on approximately the 17th or 18th of October. Is that right?
That's for the outgoing communications on the device ended on the 18th of October. Right. There were some messages after that.
But the range of what you're talking about and testifying about is the range we just discussed, the July through October. Is that right?
That's right.
And the evaluation that you're presenting to this jury is that in that 2.5 month period, this was a lengthy SMS message. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But you didn't look at, do you have an idea of how long Chad and Tammy Daybell were married?
Quite some time. I couldn't give you an exact date.
It was a significant length, wasn't it? You didn't evaluate their history of 30 years of marriage on their SMS communications, did you?
No, I did not.
In fact, you didn't even evaluate the SMS messages from May, June, and the first half of July of 2019 during this range either, did you?
They were not on the device, so no.
Okay. So you really can't say. All you can say is that in this specific 2.5 month period, you found this to be a generally, and that was your term, right? Generally longer than some of the others, correct?
So generally speaking, their messages between the two of them were shorter and dealt with everyday affairs, everyday matters. And this message stood out because it was longer and more detailed than all of the rest that were on the device.
And did you have an occasion to look at any other devices that Tammy Daybell may have had as part of your investigation?
No.
Were you aware as part of your investigation that Tammy Daybell had communicated with her children about this very incident about locating and finding raccoons?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. That misstates prior testimony.
Sustained.
Do you have any indication or information as part of your investigation that Mark Daybell and Tammy Daybell discussed wildlife during a communication?
From my review of this device, no, I do not have knowledge.
Okay. And you didn't look beyond this device. You're speaking specifically about this device, and you're not speaking about any other communication that may have occurred discussing wildlife or raccoons or skunks, right?
Correct. And on this device, okay, that's what I'm speaking to.
Okay. And again, the phone number for, just so we have a clear record, for Tammy Daybell was what number?
The phone number for Tammy Daybell was 801-669-4368.
Thank you. That's all I have, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Wood, any redirect?
Just very brief. You were asked how long the Daybells were married, or Chad and Tammy Daybell were married. You weren't provided with devices for the entire length of their marriage, correct?
No, I was not.
And you were asked about the length of this message, and part of what stood out to you was the length of this message.
That's correct.
Okay. And again, this message is what this message caught your attention because of the content and the date about burying an animal in the pet cemetery.
Judge asked and answered.
Overruled.
That's correct.
No further questions.
Thank you. All right, that'll conclude the testimony then of intelligence analyst Dean. And we will ask, at this point, I'll just inquire if he may be recalled. Is the state intending to recall the witness?
Your Honor, we're not planning on it. We have been, just as a matter of course, not releasing law enforcement from subpoenas just in case. But so we wouldn't release him at this time.
All right. So, Mr. Dean, then with that being said, because of the court's exclusionary order, I'll direct you not to observe or watch any continuing trial testimony in the case or discuss with anyone else any testimony they give in the case. With that, you can go ahead and be excused. Thank you for testifying.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And the state can call its next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state calls Janet Anderson.
Swear or affirm, the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you, God. Thank you.
Mr. Wixom, again, do you believe the exclusionary order would apply to this witness?
I believe it would, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Anderson, then having been sworn, I'm just going to ask, have you watched any of the trial online or from any other source or observed any of it in here?
No.
Okay. Have you talked to anyone else about testimony they've given in their trial?
No.
Very well. Mr. Wixom, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Judge. Ma'am, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Janet Anderson, JanetAnderson.
Thank you. And where do you live?
I live in St. Charles, Idaho.
And where is that?
By Bear Lake.
Okay. Where did you live 5 years ago?
I lived in Lyman, Rexburg area.
Okay. When you lived in Rexburg, what type of work did you do?
I was the secretary at Central Elementary in Sugar City.
How long did you work in that job?
15 years.
Do you recall working with the Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
Can you recall which years you remember working with her?
She started in 2017 and she died in 2019.
Could you describe for the jury what kind of working interactions did you have with Tammy?
I saw Tammy every day, multiple times a day. She was in the library and I would have to go down, deliver notes to the students or take her books to get checked in. Just different handouts we'd have to hand out. So I'd be in her library two or three times a day, every day.
Would she have occasion to come to the office where you worked?
Yes, lots of times.
Were there any other duties that you had that you shared with Tammy?
Nope.
Okay. I want you the best you can. Can you tell the jury what your perception was of Tammy, her personality and demeanor, just generally speaking?
She was easy to get along with. She was very quick to get her duties done. She was very efficient, organized. She was easy to talk to, and she didn't ever have anything bad to say to anybody, and she was a friendly person. She's friends to everybody. Everybody loved Tammy.
How often did you have interaction with her? Was it every day?
Every day. Mm-hmm.
And with respect to her attendance at work, do you recall, was she someone who called in sick or missed work?
Judge, I'm going to object unless there's some additional foundation.
Overruled.
You may answer.
I don't remember any days of getting a substitute for her. She just wasn't ever sick. She never had a cough or a sniffle or a limp or anything that I noticed.
Okay. Was Tammy ever one to complain of her health or talk about her health?
No.
At any point in time, let me withdraw that. Thinking back to just the last few weeks before she passed, did you ever notice anything about her and her health?
No, she was very energetic. Like I said, she was the Energizer Bunny. She just was everywhere and got everything done she needed to. And
you mind elaborating on that for the jury? When you use the word Energizer Bunny, what do you mean by that?
She just never quit. She was always where she needed to be. She had multiple jobs. She was lunchroom duty. She was computer lab, librarian, recess duty. She was always quick to get to wherever she needed to be. She didn't talk very much. Stop and visit very much. And if it was brief, and then she went to where she needed to be.
How did you first learn of her passing?
Mr. Garner called me Saturday morning.
And other than possibly grief, what was your reaction to that news?
I thought, how could this be? I just barely saw her Friday at 3:30, 3:45. She was happy. She was healthy. I was laughing about curtains she'd had to put up in the computer lab so the kids would quit knocking on the door to say hi to her. And it was just really quite a shock. I didn't know how it could happen.
When you talk about this, her stopping or putting up curtains, did you have a specific interaction with her regarding that?
Yeah, she stopped at the office on their way out, her and Emma. Stopped at the office and told me about what they were doing in the computer lab to put up the curtains. And they were laughing about it, how it's so funny that the kids had to say hi when they just barely saw her an hour before, but they'd have to knock on the window and say hi to her. And they thought that was really funny. Tammy had quite an interesting sense of humor. I loved it. She was happy most of the time about lots of things.
Thinking about that interaction with the curtains, when did that occur relative to her death?
That was at 3:45 on Friday. And I guess she passed away that night or morning.
So as you recall, you last saw Tammy at 3:45 the night before she passed?
Yes.
Okay. When you have this interaction with her about the curtains, did she appear sick at all to you?
Nope.
Did you make any other observations about her health?
She was just normal, healthy all the time.
Did she have any appearance of having had a hard work day, t-
tired, anything like that?
Actually, no. She seemed like she had energy no matter what time of the day it was, morning or evening or whenever I saw her. She just was always on the go.
And then just last question. Over the last few months before she passed, did you happen to notice whether or not she'd gained or lost any weight?
I don't think she gained or lost any weight. She looked the same. She walked the same. She was always really fast walking to wherever she had to go. In my office, I would see all the halls. And so I could see people coming and going wherever they went. And they put me in that spot so I could. So I saw Tammy a lot, but she was just always on the go where she needed to be.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have no more questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Anderson, do you have a recollection of being interviewed by Officer Mattingly?
Who's that?
One of the police officers who conducted the investigation in this case and interviewed you?
Well, somebody came to the office and made me write down a report, but I don't remember his name.
Okay. And do you remember as part of that report, you mentioned that Tammy Daybell was somebody who kept to herself?
She kept to herself in the way that she got her job done. Like okay. I said, she didn't stop and talk to very many people for very long. So,
okay. So when you say she kept to herself, it was in her, and I don't want to suggest that it was a shy manner, but she kept her personal business to herself. Would that be fair?
Well, she never said much personal things to me, so that's probably why.
Yep. In fact, she never said anything about her health to you, did she?
Never.
In fact, the one person that you would identify who would probably be her confidant at the school would be her own daughter, Emma. Would you agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
Okay. Why not?
I think she had lots of friends. She talked to lots of people, and there could have been a time when she would have said something to one of the other staff members.
And despite the fact that she had a tendency to keep to herself, according to you, you're telling me now that she must have talked to other members, but you don't really know that, do you?
Objection, argumentative, Your Honor.
Overruled.
You don't know that, do you, ma'am?
I don't.
Okay. But you do know that her daughter worked at the same school with her, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And would you say it's fair to say that her daughter, that they spent a lot of time together when they had downtime at school?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay. Now, on the day that you're describing, and the day that the Friday, the last day of school that Tammy was there, do you remember the efforts that were being undertaken by Tammy to prepare for the book fair that day?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a book fair that was scheduled, correct?
Correct.
And you would agree with me that that required a lot of moving of books and a lot of hustle and bustle that day, right?
Objection, counsel's testifying, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Was it a significant endeavor to prepare for that book fair?
I think so. I didn't really look at people when they did that, but I probably was.
So when you're saying that you didn't observe, you didn't actually observe Tammy on that day preparing for this book fair, is that right?
Actually, the book fair wasn't that day. It was the next week.
Okay.
So there wouldn't have been a lot of quick work. I imagine she got things organized and sort of got ready for it, but I don't think there was a lot of extra work that would have had to be done on that Friday.
But you're not aware of, you didn't have any specific recollection of seeing Tammy doing anything particular in regards to the book fair, is that right?
No.
Okay. But you don't know one way or the other. You're just speculating. Wouldn't that be fair?
That would be fair.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. I have nothing else.
All right. Any redirect, Mr. Wixom?
No, Your Honor.
All right. That'll conclude your testimony then, Ms. Anderson. Are we going to anticipate she may be recalled?
The state would excuse her, Judge.
Judge, I don't anticipate calling her either. I would excuse her as well. Thank you.
Okay, you can be excused. Thank you for appearing. State can call us next witness.
State would call Tammy Gee.
I solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help God. And you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, before the witness testifies, let me just inquire now that you've been placed under oath, Ms. Gee. Have you watched any of this trial online or observed any of the trial testimony here in the courtroom or otherwise?
No.
Thank you. Have you talked to anyone else about testimony they've given in this trial?
No.
Okay. Thank you. With that then, Ms. Beatty, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Gee, could you please state your full name and then spell your last?
Yes. My name is Tammy Gee, G like in good, E-E.
Do you prefer to go by Tammy or Mrs. Gee or Ms. Gee?
You can just call me Tammy.
Okay. That sounds great. Can you tell me where you work?
I work at Central Elementary in Sugar City, Idaho.
How long have you worked there?
I have worked there for this year will be 14 years.
And what is your job title there?
I teach kindergarten.
Have you taught kindergarten the entire time you've worked at the school?
No, actually, I taught third grade for 3 years, and then I have taught kindergarten the rest of my stay there.
And in 2019, were you teaching kindergarten?
Yes, I was.
I want to talk to you about someone named Tammy Daybell.
Yes.
Do you know her?
Or
do
yes.
you know her?
Yes.
How did you know Tammy Daybell?
She was the librarian at our school.
And how long did you and Tammy Daybell work together?
From the time she was hired on until her passing.
And do you know about how many years or months that would be?
I would say that was about 3 years.
Okay. And at some point in time, did you learn that Tammy Daybell had passed away?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk to you about the very last time that you ever saw Tammy Daybell. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember when that was?
Yes, it was the day before her passing after school.
Can you tell me about what time you spoke to her during the day?
I spoke to her at about 3:20. Between 3:20 and 3:30 is usually when I get back from duty. And I spoke to her then about one of my students.
Do you remember her demeanor during the conversation?
Yes. She was very animated. She was very friendly and kind.
Did you make any observations about what her health was?
I didn't see any health issues. We talked just like I would on a regular day.
How would you describe her energy level?
Great.
And at some point in time the next day, did you receive a phone call?
Our principal texted us all, and yes, we heard it the next morning.
What was your reaction?
I was shocked. I was shocked.
And why were you shocked?
I had just talked to her the day before about one of my students and how we were going to help him. And I didn't see any indication that she was sick.
Okay. I have no further questions for this witness.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Beatty. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gee.
Good afternoon.
Do you recall on that Friday if there were, are you aware of any preparations that were being done to prepare for a book fair the following week?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
Okay. And would you agree that Tammy was a bit of a private person, and in terms of her personal life, she tended to keep to herself?
Not really. Okay. I wouldn't say that.
Judge, I have nothing else.
All right. Thank you.
And Your Honor, I have nothing further for this witness, and she may be excused from her subpoena.
All right. Unless there's any objection from the defense, you may be excused from your subpoena. Thank you for appearing and providing your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. State can call its next witness.
Your Honor, at this time, the state would call Pam Peebles.
Or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All right. Before we inquire on direct, I'll just ask the witness, have you observed or watched in any way any of the trial testimony that's taken place in this case?
No.
Okay. Have you talked to anyone else about testimony they've given?
No.
Very well. You can inquire on direct, Mr. Wicks.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Pamela Peebles, PamelaPeebles.
And ma'am, where is it that you live?
I live in Rigby, Idaho.
And where do you work?
I work at Central Elementary in Sugar City, Idaho.
What do you do there?
I'm a Title I teacher.
What is that?
We help children that are not on grade level in their reading. We just kind of help them to get their reading up to grade level.
How long have you done that?
Probably around 14 or 15 years.
As a Title I teacher, did you have and do you have regular interaction with the library?
Somewhat, if I'm out in the hall or whatever, and I go there to get books frequently.
I want to draw your attention back to 2019. Do you recall working with Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And the best you can recall, how many years or how long did you work with her?
Probably a couple, 2 to 3 years.
Could you just describe for the jury your day-to-day interactions with Tammy? What would those be?
I would see her around the school every day because she was running around doing her library and computer stuff with the children. So I would interact with her every day, and sometimes she would come in our room. But mostly, I was out at recess duty twice a week with her for a half hour each time.
What did recess duty entail?
So we were just out there to ensure the safety of the children. And Tammy would be able to run around with them and interact with them. She knew each child by name, in all of them in the school. She loved the children, and they loved her very much. So she would interact with them a lot. And it was a joy to watch her. And she was a good friend as well as a coworker.
Ma'am, as you sit there and reflect back on what you were trying to explain about recess, would you say that's an active, physically active duty?
Judge, I'm an eject at this point. It's becoming leading.
Sustain.
Did you get a chance to watch her during those 30-minute sessions of recess?
Yes.
And specifically, what would she do? What would you observe her to do?
Well, she would engage with the children with their playtime, and she would make sure that they were okay. And she was very involved with the children.
Okay. How did you first learn of Tammy's passing?
One of the teachers that I work under let us know that she had passed away.
In other than perhaps grief, what was your reaction?
Judge, I'm an object.
Grounds?
Judge, it's argumentative.
Overruled.
What was your reaction when you learned of her death?
Mostly surprise.
Why?
Well, because I was with her on Thursday at recess duty, watching her with the children and speaking with her like we always did. And I saw nothing wrong with her. So I was shocked.
To that point, thinking to your interactions with her day to day at work, did you make observations that you had a perception of her health?
Well, I thought she was quite healthy. She had been training for a race.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. There's been no foundation for that testimony.
Sustained.
And it's a narrative.
Sustained.
Ma'am, did Tammy ever say anything to you about whether or not she was training for a race?
Yes.
Judge?
Oh, go ahead.
When did she say that?
She had said that.
Judge, I'm going to object. It calls for hearsay.
Judge, it goes to her state of her physical well-being under 8033.
Overruled.
When did she tell you that?
She told me that several times, but Thursday we talked about it.
And what specifically did she say about that?
She had told me that she felt like she was in the best health of her life. She had been eating better and losing some weight and training. And she said she felt very good about her health. And we discussed that a little bit.
Based on your observations, was anything about that she was sharing inconsistent, or was that consistent?
It was consistent. She seemed very healthy to me.
Had you personally, just off of observation, noticed whether or not she'd gained or lost any weight in the few months before she passed?
Well, she had lost some, and I was a little jealous of that. So we talked about that a little bit, and she looked good, and she was happy that she felt better and had changed some of her habits and stuff.
Thank you, ma'am. Your Honor, I have no more questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wicks. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Judge, I don't have any questions.
Very well. That'll conclude your testimony then. Any reason why the witness can't be excused from the subpoena?
We would excuse her, Your Honor.
Very well. Thank you for appearing and testifying. You are excused.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. We discussed scheduling here with counsel in that sidebar. We are going to go ahead and conclude for the day since they are doing this courthouse maintenance this afternoon just behind the courtroom here. We are intending to just have a regular scheduled day tomorrow of 8:30 till 3 or 3:30, depending on when we break for the weekend tomorrow. So that concludes evidence for today. There is another brief issue I'll take up on the record outside the presence of the jurors once they've been excused from the courtroom, if counsel will remain for a moment. And so I will go ahead and give the counsel your instruction I give you each day as you go home. Please don't discuss the case or any of the evidence amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Please don't investigate or look the case up in any way, and we'll have you fill out your affirmations tomorrow that you follow that instruction. Thank you for your attendance today, and we will see you tomorrow morning for
all right, evidence.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. The court just wanted to clarify something on the record as it goes towards exhibits. When the case started for trial, I raised a concern with counsel about some of the markings, which in law terms we refer to as bait stamps, on state's exhibits, referencing Vallo/Daybell with page numbers or potentially a case number or something. I think they're just page numbered that way. When we started trial, I did have a concern about the references to Vallo, being that we previously had a separate trial in that case, potentially having some impact if the jurors would or lead to speculation about why that was there. Now that we've gone through significant evidence, I was originally requesting the state, and they were redacting that Vallo reference from exhibits. At this point, with all the references, I think the parties have agreed in the court also that it doesn't appear there'd be any kind of prejudice or cause for speculation to have those references on exhibits. And so exhibits are now being admitted without that redaction. And one example would be the 234 exhibits, which were admitted today, which have those markings on them, are now unredacted. So that's how the court is handling those exhibits. And I understand the state and defense don't object to that being contained on the exhibits. Is that accurate from the state's perspective?
That is, Your Honor.
From the defense perspective?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, counsel. I just wanted to clarify that on the record for any future reference. Is there anything else we need to take up before we conclude today?
The state needed to take up, at the conclusion of Melanie Pawlowski's testimony, the state had indicated that we were requesting she still be held under subpoena. The state at this point is releasing her from her subpoena.
Okay. Do you intend to potentially recall her?
No, Judge.
All right. Well, you can advise her then that she's released from subpoena and can watch the trial if she wants to. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Just a quick sidebar after we're done. Okay.
We can take a sidebar as well, and I'll discuss on or off the record, Mr. Pryor.
Off the record and a sidebar, Judge.
Okay. Thank you. We'll be concluded for today then. Thanks, everyone.
All rise.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tare, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.